So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, a new one just begun.
And of course the John Lennon Yoko Ono classic.
And so this is Christmas.
But that version is the Moody Blues.
I hope you have fun.
Who have just released their first Christmas album, December.
The near and the
came out
one.
About 10 days ago. And they are touring to support it and coming to our town to play the Sabbath Center this Sunday night. And I'm happy to welcome back the longtime bass player for the Moody Blues and one of the creative forces behind the success of that band for more than three decades now. Here's John Lodge. Hello, John.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing wonderfully. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Thank you.
Why a Christmas album?
Well, it came out of the blue to us, to be honest. We were thinking about going into the studio to record a new album, and a person we work a lot with is Miles Copeland. We've thrown some ideas around, and he said, you know, you should really think about a Christmas album, you know, Moody Blues and Christmas. It sounds right. And, well, we thought about it for a while, and then over 2 years we recorded the album. We just decided to have a look and try and see how we could do it differently to anyone else's Christmas album. And we sort of went back to the basics of what a Moody Blues album is, and that is to try and make it a theme and to treat all the songs as though we'd written all of them, and how would we approach it if they were all absolutely brand new songs.
And you've written about five new songs for this, and you also have about five covers on there, including that John Lennon Happy Christmas, War is Over song. Why did you choose that one, by the way?
Well, I think we are of that generation, and I think the feelings, you know, of that Lennon song and Ono's, you know, it's just such a great, the whole emotion of that came through, I think, you know, the 60s thing, and it felt really relevant to today, actually, because of what is happening, you know. And we can still hang on to our dreams, and we can still hang onto all those emotions that we have. You know.
Were you and the guys friends with Lennon and the Beatles?
Well, we actually, I've just found a photograph. When I just left England, I was going through some archival things, and I found a photograph that I've got with the Beatles from 1962.
Hmm.
And so over the years, we've met them and did things together with them. And, you know, so but we weren't great friends, I must say, you know, we weren't. But, you know, the music industry is a bit like that.
Yeah, but there at least is a connection, and now kept alive with this song on the new CD.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, you know, I've talked to you several times through the years, and one of the things we talked about a long time ago was those great Moody Blues album covers. And I'm looking at the CD cover now, and it's pretty, but one of the things about having the vinyl format was you had a 12x12 canvas. Who did all of those Moody Blues album covers, and do you miss being able to do all of that with the smaller CD format?
Yes, it's been very difficult. I think, and I hope you'll agree, and I hope everyone who buys the album does, that I think the cover is very nice. I really enjoy the cover, because what we've taken is we had an album called Long Distance Voyager, which we released in the beginning of the 80s.
Right.
And just as a side thing here, I just heard that Voyager, we built that album on the Voyager spacecraft, and it's just left the solar system yesterday.
I just read that too, yeah.
So I thought that was fantastic, because here we are, we've taken the little boy that we had on that cover, and of course that was a vinyl cover, so it was a huge cover, it's a double gatefold.
Right.
And for people who don't know what a double gatefold is, it meant it opened up, so you had a whole picture, front and back cover.
Yep.
And we've taken the little boy from that and planted in what is really a Christmas scene on the new album.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've tried to incorporate that. But yes, you are right. I mean, we had great scope in the early days on vinyl covers, the 12x12, because you, not only could you have the double gatefold, you could have the insert, you could have six or seven or eight pages inside, which you could devote to, you know, trying to put over more about what the album is about.
Yep.
And we had a great friend artist at the time called Phil Travers, who did most of those for us. And we used to bring him into the studio or take him the tapes every time we'd written a song, and play it to him and describe what the song was about, and then try and get him to interpret what he saw, as well as what we were trying to achieve with the cover.
Well, they were always beautiful, and this one's very nice, but like I said, I miss that larger format there. And you mentioned the Voyager spacecraft leaving the solar system. I don't know how fast radio transmission works, but I'm guessing through all the years your songs have been played on the radio, somewhere out beyond Pluto, you know, aliens are listening to Knights in White Satin.
It'd be nice to think so, and sometimes I actually think, you know, when people listening for... messages from outside there, you know, that you wonder whether it's a bounce back and they're going to hear Knights in White Satin again bouncing back.
I'm one of those giant radio telescopes. Speaking of changes through the years, how has digital technology changed how you guys make your music?
It's actually revolutionized how you make it. I mean, whether it's more creative or not, I actually don't know, to be honest, but it's revolutionized it because you're now able to do things without actually being there together. What I'm saying is once you've created a song, you can actually record that. We did a film called Amazing Caves.
Oh, I saw it at the IMAX Theater here at the St. Louis Science Center. It was great, and I recognized your music immediately.
Thank you. Yeah, well, we had great fun doing that because Justin did, we wrote the songs at my studio at home in England. Then Justin went down to Italy, because we record in Italy, and Justin lives in Monaco. So he went down to Italy and recorded and did all the work with our technician down there in Italy. And then our engineer, I was in Barbados at the Eddie Grant studio. Our engineer flew out there with all the digital hardware. He came out there with Pro Tools, and I recorded all my pieces, everything I wanted to do on the album, and then we took it all the way back to Italy. The engineer did, and then started mixing, and then kept just sending MP3 files just to check everything was right.
So it's possible to be a band now without ever seeing your bandmates.
Yeah, you could do, yeah. Except the creative part. So you have to have the creative part, and the creative part is where you write the song. And that can only be done face on.
And when you're writing.
Yeah, I only believe, you know, a lot of people now can say they can do things from home and write a song with other people. I don't actually think you get the essence. If two people or three people are writing, if you're there in a room together, you know, you get that, you know, it's the look in the eye, it's the commitment, the whole emotion of being together.
Mm-hmm.
I think you create a real song, not manufacture one.
Or you might hear Justin say, do a riff on the guitar, say, oh, that's good, but let's put it in here instead of in there, which it's hard to do by email.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. When you come to town this weekend, you'll be here without Ray Thomas, your longtime flute player. Is he out of the band? Did you guys kick him out? Did he quit? What happened?
No, Ray, listen, we could never do that. I mean, Ray and I have been working together since I was 14, you know, and we are great friends, great mates. And not only have we become friends over all those years, but our parents became friends and our children became friends. So now it's a lot deeper than that. But Ray just came to the point where he really didn't want to tour anymore. And he just said, listen, I'm really tired of all the touring and everything else. And in actual fact, I'd really want to just relax and be who I am for whatever the next, whatever, how many years, you know, and just... really enjoys life doing that, and you have to respect that. You know, it wasn't a case of Ray, you can't do that. We committed to contracts and this and that and the other. It was, you know, he's a friend, and that's what he wants to do. You know, and you have to respect that.
It's too bad digital technology can't make it possible for him to stay home and still play wherever you're playing.
Well, you never know, do you?
we may get there.
One never knows. You know, I mean, who knows what's? You know, I mean, the things that have happened over the last. Not 20 years, the last 5 years are just phenomenal.
Yep.
And who knows, you know, if you'd have said you could have made an album without being in the same studio, I would never have thought it was possible. And to have something that's successful as well.
John, after all these years of performing in concert, is there any Moody Blues song you're tired of playing? You know the audience wants to hear it, and you have to play it, or maybe you retired it for a few years because, you know, frankly, we just don't want to play that song anymore. Is there anything that fits that category?
I've got to be really honest and say no.
Oh.
And I mean that. What happened, you see, because we do have recorded so many songs, and so many songs mean so much to different people, that every tour we change the songs. There are some that we can't change, of course, but every tour we introduce different songs to the concert. So you never get to a point, really, where you think you've saturated how to perform it. And the most important thing every night, really, is to try and perform whatever song it is to the best it's ever been. And that's what you're trying to achieve. If you fall into the trap of just become a parody, then you might as well hang up your guitar and go home.
Talking with John Lodge of the Moody Blues. They'll be at the Concert Club at the Savas Center this Sunday night at 7:30. We'll take a break and then start including your phone calls, 314-969-KTRS, toll-free 1-888-550-KTRS, cell phone star KTRS. This is the Paul Harris Show.
Now back to the Paul Harris Show, already in progress on the Big 550 KTRS.
Talking with John Lodge of the Moody Blues. John, I don't know if you remember this, but about 13 years ago, I was doing my radio show live from London at Bill Wyman's restaurant, Sticky Fingers Cafe, and you and Justin came in to do an interview with me, and we had a guitar there, and somebody shoved it into, I think, into your hands or into Justin's hands, and I begged you on the air if you would play a song, and you guys ripped off one of the best two-minute versions of Tuesday Afternoon I've ever heard in my life.
I do remember.
Do you?
Yeah, it was an afternoon.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, no, I do remember.
Yeah,
and
I was doing a morning show at the time, and with the time change, it was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon in London.
Yeah, remember it very well.
That was a great time.
Yeah,
all right, let's go to the phones for some questions. The Moody Blues, by the way, will be at Savas Center here in St. Louis this Sunday night. And Linda has a question for you. Say hello to John Lodge, Linda.
Hi, John Lodge.
Hi, Linda.
Hey, I'm really, really happy to hear the new Christmas album, and the Moody's just never stopped surprising us. It's wonderful to see you doing something new again.
Well, thank you very much.
And I'm hoping that after this tour, you'll go back and put out something else for us.
Well.
I'm planning on being in front row for that concert Sunday night and talking to everyone else that I know that loves the Moody Blues. We're all wondering if there's even half a chance that we could get a Blue Jays song out of you.
Oh, really, I suppose when we come on stage for a Moody Blues concert, we do a Moody Blues concert, but it's very nice of you to say that, you know. Blue Jays is a great period of time in our lives, and it was a great creative period as well, and we love the songs from there, you know. But it's always very difficult to try and put the balance between Moody Blues and, other projects, really.
All right, there you go. Here is Chuck on the Big 550. Hello.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hi, Chuck.
I've got a question for you, John. What was your inspiration for the song Nights in White Satin? And how do you feel that the Moody Blues have inspired other bands? Do you think that you've had an effect on bands like Pink Floyd and groups like that?
Well, the first one really is I suppose that moment in time when you want to write down all your feelings about someone in particular, and then you decide you during the night, you know, you have that period of time where you write what you really believe, and then in the morning you think, well, should I have sent that letter or should not I have sent that letter? You know, it's always one of those things when you wake up and the cold reality of day, probably. And I think from Moody Blues' point of view about other artists, I don't know, you know. It'd be really nice to think that we have, that other people have enjoyed our music and taken on board how we've approached songs and how we've performed songs, you know. So, and it'd be very nice to think that people have, but I don't know.
All right, here's Connie on the Big 550 with a question for John Lodge. Hello.
Hi, John. It's incredible that I'm actually getting to talk to you. My question is this. What is your favorite song that you have written for the Moody Blues?
Hi, Connie. It's always very difficult. Probably Isn't Life Strange.
Oh, such an incredible song, just such an incredible. I have one thing that I would like to tell you that is awesome. I met a girl on the internet, actually a woman. I'm 48. She's 51 now. We met on the internet thanks to the Moody Blues magazine website. She lives in Denmark, and I'm in the United States. In fact, I'm going to see you on Sunday night. And I actually went over there in 2001, and we met and had 7 wonderful days together. She's going to be coming over here one of these days. I was hoping it was this past year, but it couldn't happen. So I just want you to know what kind of an impact your music, not only does it touch our souls, but I met this wonderful woman across the seas because of the Moody Blues.
Well, thank you very much.
This is such an awesome experience, just being able to say hi to you.
And to you, and thank you. I mean, these things go both ways, you know, and we do thank you.
And have a great time on Sunday night, Connie. I'm glad you called. By the way, isn't life strange? Had something strange happened in your life to make you write that song?
The strangest thing is, you know, like all songs that you really love, they almost write themselves. And I think it's part of my life. When I first started playing the guitar and performing, I was probably 14. And by the time I wrote Isn't Life Strange, my daughter had been born and my whole life had been changed. And he'd gone from sort of a rock and roll, no restrictions, no parameters, no anything, to just a minute here, you know.
Uh-oh. Responsibility. Uh-oh. You've got responsibilities now.
Responsibilities.
Yeah. Yeah. Why did you start playing the bass?
The strange thing is that when I first started playing, I just played guitar because a bass did not exist. And I went to see a concert with an American band called the Treniers. They came to England, and they had an electric bass player, and I didn't know what it was. I actually never, ever liked double bass at all.
Hmm.
But there was something about the electric bass, and then a record came out by Johnny and the Hurricanes. And it's probably before anyone. I was so young, but it was just something that hit me. And it was a song called Crossfire. It was an instrumental. And that was bass-orientated, electric bass. And I started to play my guitar only on the bottom 4 strings and looking for riffs. And then a bass arrived in Birmingham, England, where I was born. And I just bought it.
And
did
who taught you? If nobody was playing them at the time, did you just teach yourself?
Taught myself guitar, taught myself everything, really. Taught myself guitar, taught myself bass.
Self-taught on everything, huh?
Yeah, just sort of sit in the bedroom all day, all night, trying to work out how it worked. And then you become, you know, you've got it. It's like everything, I think. It's like driving cars. It's like it has to become one with you, you know. And when it becomes one with you, you can do anything with it. You know?
Yep. Well, we're all out of time, John. I wish we had more, but let me get some plugs in for you here for the concert Sunday night at Sabbath Center and the new CD, December, which is half original and half cover versions of Christmas songs, including one very nice song that John wrote called The Spirit of Christmas, which is about the troubles we're having in the Mideast these days, and a beautiful, beautiful tune. And you can also find him online at johnlodge.com. And when he's not doing concerts and touring, he tells me he's listening to a lot of talk radio in England. So I appreciate your time today here on this talk station. Thanks, John.
Hey, Paul, thank you very much, and thank you to everyone out there as well.
Always a great pleasure talking to you, and looking forward to seeing you Sunday night at Sabbath Center. John Lodge of the Moody Blues exclusively here on the Paul Harris Show. This is the Big 550 KTRS.